Well, it's great to check back in with the folks at Sanford Health of Northern Minnesota. I have Dr. Colleen Swank with me today. She's a pediatrician and the vice president of clinic for Sanford of Health of Northern Minnesota. Welcome back, Dr. Swank. Great to have you.
Thank you for including me again today.
Well, you know, I was just as I've been watching the news, which has been obviously very, very tragic and very, very intense the last few weeks, I realized we're not hearing a lot about COVID. And I've started to see from some of the more smart alecky people on social media, oh, I guess COVID's over. And it made me think, you know, it probably isn't. We better talk about that. So let's start there. Is COVID over?
Unfortunately, it is not over. I think what people have to remember is the reason that we shut everything down and really took a pause was for a couple of reasons. Number one, we didn't know very much about COVID-19 because it's a new virus and we weren't sure what was going to happen once it came to the U.S. The other thing is that we were very concerned that we would inundate the hospital system and specifically hospital beds and ICU beds and ventilators if we didn't do something to try and slow down the spread. And I think most states have done a very good job of that. And I think that that's why we're not hearing as much about it in the news, because we did flatten the curve quite a bit. But that doesn't mean that it's not still out there, and that doesn't mean that we couldn't have a secondary spike. And so I think it's really important that people continue to do some of the things that we've told people to do all along. So washing hands and staying home when you're sick, those are the two probably most important things that we can do. Some of the studies are showing that by masking, people that maybe have early symptoms or haven't had symptoms yet but are going to, if they mask, they can prevent some of the shed of that virus to other people. And so that's why you're seeing in grocery stores and department stores and now here in Minnesota in restaurants, seeing a lot of the staff masked because they're trying to protect their customers should any of their workers happen to have COVID-19.
One of the interesting things I've seen as I've been watching this, you know, the last few weeks, because I know there's been great controversy of I don't want to wear a mask and all of that stuff, but after that, I have seen more and more, and I'd say it's probably a good 50 to 60%, depending on the business I'm in, of people, and I mean customers, wearing masks as well. So people are adhering to that.
Yeah, I think so, too. And as they learn more and they realize, okay, well, I'm not really, you know, they might be thinking to themselves, well, I'm not really scared of COVID-19, but you're not really wearing the mask to protect you. You're wearing the mask just in case you could possibly be contagious to try and prevent that from happening. And especially if you're going to be within, you know, 6 feet of someone else for a period of time, those are the times that you're, you know, most likely to be able to transmit it to somebody else.
Okay.
Go ahead. Here at Sanford, you know, all of our employees and physicians are masked. And when we have anybody come onto campus, so whether it's a patient or a visitor, we're having them all mask as well.
The word I've been hearing a lot lately is super spreader event. What would a super spreader event be? What is a super spreader?
So I think a super spreader, when that first came along, was somebody who... So there's something called the R-naught. R-naught is when you have a contagious disease, how many people on average a contagious person spreads it to. And so the R-naught that I have consistently heard for COVID-19 is 2.5. So for every contagious person, if we don't do any of the social distancing, masking, and all of those things, you spread it to an average of 2.5 people. A super spreader is somebody that spreads it to more than that. And I don't really know if that's because they tend to be more contagious or if it happens to be the activities that they're participating in. So you could imagine with some of the protests that have happened across the country, if there's somebody who is actively contagious at the time and they're doing a lot of yelling, because we know that that kind of can spray stuff out of your mouth more than just talking, and you're close to other people, there is a risk that somebody could spread it to well more than the 2.5 people that you might expect.
It seems to me, and again, I read a lot and try to keep up with things, and I've read a few books on it for the layman, not for the medical professional, but it seems to me that one of the big concerns is these big gatherings of people. And one of the, you know, when we look at what seems to be the most vulnerable population, talking about elderly Americans that are in homes of some sort, and is part of it is they're older and weaker. But I would say the biggest part of it is they're in a pretty close confines with each other.
Yeah. Well, and one of the earlier kind of super spreader events, I think, was, and I can't remember what state it was in, but it was a church choir practice. And there was one person there that they figured out was positive and just early having symptoms, and then spread it to, and I'm making the number up, I don't remember, but I want to say it was like 15 people out of the 50 people that were there, something big like that. And then, of course, at a church choir, a lot of them were at those higher risk ages, and so you know, they had a bigger proportion that ended up in the hospital because of it. And so, yeah, anything. I think that you know, as we are opening up more and able to do more, I think the people that are at the highest risk really have to look at what they're doing to protect themselves. And so, you know, if you're over the age of 60, if you have hypertension, if you have diabetes, if you have a lung disease, or you live with somebody or close to somebody that has those things, you know, what can you do to further protect yourself so that you're not likely to get exposed?
You know, most of the major events that bring lots of people together in small confines for long periods of time have pretty much been taken off the schedule for this summer. But next fall, you know, colleges, schools go back. How are we feeling about that right now? What seems to be the consensus out there?
Yeah, I mean, it's a difficult one because we still don't know exactly how the spread of this is going to happen, and if in the fall we're going to see a bigger resurgence as people start getting closer together. I think that universities across the country are trying to figure out the best way that they can decrease some of those close quarters. And so I know some universities are not having people have roommates, and so they're changing all the double dorm rooms into single dorm rooms. You know, they're doing things in the cafeteria so it's not buffet, but so that everything's served or served in closed containers. They are taking some of the bigger class sizes. Like, let's say it's a biology class for 100 people, and doing either more sections of it so that it's smaller, or doing it online. So I know I happen to have a son he'll start his sophomore year this fall. And if college opens like it's supposed to, I think three of his classes, which are small, will be in person, and two of the larger classes will be online.
Okay. I know that numbers are going up here in Beltrami County a little bit as well. Where are we at in Beltrami?
You know, I don't have the specific numbers for Beltrami. I know that because here at Sanford we do test folks, but we don't just test people that are in Beltrami. We test from all over the place if they're visiting. So I can tell you that I know that our numbers have gone up, you know, to the mid-20s now as far as our total positives. And we have had a patient who has been hospitalized with COVID, and that was our first hospitalized person.
as we move through summer again, before we wrap this up, Dr. Swank, little reminders of what we need to do to help keep everybody healthy.
Well, I think hand washing. I think staying home when you're sick is really important. And I think that we're seeing some people that have come here and gotten tested, and they'd had symptoms for a couple of days, but yet they didn't change what they were doing before that. And so I think just if you, the first sign of being sick, stay home, call in, let your boss know what's going on. You can get a test to find out if you're positive or not, but really protecting the people around you. And I know it seems silly because, you know, we probably have all worked with a cold before. But in this day and age, that cold could be COVID-19, and it could affect somebody much more seriously. I think the other thing to remember, though, is staying healthy is really important. And so making sure that you're not avoiding coming to the clinic or to appointments because you're nervous about COVID-19. We are very safe here, and we're doing everything that we can to protect patients. And so it's really important that you get your screening colonoscopies and get your mammograms and get in for your immunizations and your checkups and all of those things. There's really no reason to put that off right now.
Whether it be for individuals or maybe businesses that are moving back into getting open again, what's the best source of information and advice on what they should be doing?
So we have been working with local businesses to help them figure out what to do for opening up, whether it's masking or taking temperatures of all their employees every day. You know, there's lots of different things that businesses are doing, but I think probably the most consistent information is on the CDC website, and they have lots of things from, you know, what you can do as an individual person to what you can do as a business owner, from every kind of restaurant, from every kind of business, from a restaurant to a retail store, to a manufacturing plant. They've got lots of information on their sites.
Okay. Dr. Colleen Swank, a pediatrician and vice president of clinic at Sanford Health of Northern Minnesota, joining us. Any final words before we wrap it up?
No, I think just be patient with people. I think it's really important. Some people are very nervous about COVID-19, and some people are 100%, you know, 180 degrees the opposite. And I think just showing care to one another and trying to understand where we're coming from, and realizing that, you know, for one person, getting their job opened is the most important thing to them, and for another person, they live with an at-risk person, and so keeping that person safe is the most important thing to them. And we still can all live together with COVID-19 and keep each other safe, and also support the economy.
Dr. Colleen Swank from Sanford Health, Northern Minnesota, thanks for taking time today. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Happy to answer any questions I can.